Good evening. Welcome back to SheerEnjoyment.com. Well, for some, we took a week vacation for Purim. I hope everyone had a wonderful, joyous, Freilich and Purim. And now we're on to Chodesh Nisan, Yer Tashem the Shabbos. We will read Parshas HaChodesh, HaChodesh Hazem Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. We will combine the new with the old. On the one hand, we will be Messiahim. We will conclude this week Chumash Shemois, Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, and merge it together with a freshness of his Chachos, looking forward, anticipating the new year, and enjoying the Yom Tov of Pesach. I'd like to begin by thanking our sponsors. And of course, we want to thank our host, Jake Weinman, for his tireless efforts in bringing us together and overseeing this incredible entity, this incredible organization, SheerEnjoyment.com, and to our technical assistant, Mitch Green, and to all the very choshva rabban, including Eli Neumann and Mayevsky, and many, many others for their incredible efforts. We want to dedicate tonight's Sheer Lezeche Uli Nishmas, Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. We want to thank our sponsor, and may this neshama have an aliyah. Of course, I want to thank my dear friend, Rabbi Plotzke, for his encouragement, for his friendship, who is also a major force behind SheerEnjoyment.com. This week we have a double parasha, parasha Sayakel Pikude. I'd like to focus on a point, something which really requires an enormous amount of study. And let's just touch upon some small points in this matter. Now, what I'm referring to is the topic of Bezalel and Aholiah. The current parsha, you see, the last week's parsha tells us about the craftsmen who are involved in building the Mishkan. The current singles out two of them, Bezalel, then Aholiah, then Bezalel. And Bezalel was a descendant of, came from the Shevet Yehuda. And Aholiah came from the Shevet of Dan. We think Rashi in this week's parasha really elaborates very, very much. Let me actually read some of the Rashi who tells us about these two people, Bezalel and Aholiah. It's in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasek Lamed Dalid. There is Bezalel, Ben Uri ben Chur Lamata Yehuda, who is Chur is the child of Miriam. That means that Bezalel was the great grandson of Miriam. Who was Aholiah? Aholiah was Meshevet Dan, Rashi says. Min Hayiludim Shevishvatim Mibnei Hashvachis. He was a descendant of one of the Shvachis, a child Dan from the Shvachis. And the Hishvahu Hamakam LeBezalel LeMalachas HaMishkan. These two people, Bezalel and Aholiah, were the partners, the master craftsmen in building the Mishkan. Bezalel was from the greatest. Yehuda was from the leaders, Malchus. Dan was from the Bechusim Shabbashvatim. Lakaima Shenema, Lonikar Shoa Lefnedo. The rich are not to be recognized and come before the poor. I always found it interesting that in the old traditional Batei Kinyasiyos, on top of the Aron HaKodesh, there are two lions. I always wondered why there are two lions. It's a bit of a mystery. And I thought maybe we can suggest that the two lions represent Bezalel and Aholiah. In the Berocha that Yaakov Avinu gave to the Shvatim, Yaakov Avinu said about Yehuda, Gor Aryeh Yehuda. Yehuda, you are a lion. When Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the Jewish people before he passed away, Moshe Rabbeinu blessed Dan, Shevet Dan, as a lion. Uledon Omar, Dan, Gor Aryeh. These two Shvatim, Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Dan, are compared to lions. Yaakov Avinu compared Yehuda to a lion, and Moshe Rabbeinu compared Dan to a lion. Bezalel, Ben Uri, Ben Achor, Lamate, Yehuda, and Oholiyav, Ben Achiv, Samach, Lamate, Don. Bezalel was a descendant of Shevet Yehuda. Oholiyav was a descendant of Shevet Don. And these two are the lions. And just like these two people, they were the ones who were the craftsmen in building the Mishkan. Likewise, when we come into the Beis HaKnesses, the two lions appear on the top of the Aron HaKodesh as to remind us of this Rashi, the Rashi in this week's Parsha, that says, L'nikar shoyar l'sneidol. The Beis HaKnesses, everyone is the same. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each person stands with their merits. The rich have no kedima when they stand before Hashem. We have to not get carried away. Chazal tell us that people that are wealthy, are blessed with wealth, and are generous and are kind, are deserving that they should be appreciated for their graciousness, their kindness. But we have to also have the proper balance and acknowledge what it says in this week's parasha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically selected two people, one from the greatest of the Shvatim, one from the Pechusim, from the less distinguished of the Shvatim, in order to show that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you come with your merits, you come with your zechuyos, and before Hashem, it's not the kesef that a person has possession, that's not what counts, it's person's true merits, and how he expresses his Yirat Shamayim. Now, in this week's parsha, it's very interesting how the pasuk, this week's parsha Vayakel, it parallels a bit of what it says in Parshas Yisro, but yet in Parshas, in contrast to other sections which may possibly be more elaborate in Parshas Terumah Tetzaveh, in Parshas Vayakel, when we repeat the laws, the details of the Mishkan, when it comes to Bezalel and Oholiyav, the parasha is very elaborate. Let me read you some of the pesukim, what it says over here. Paskovia says, Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, this is in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, Ru'u Kor Hashem B'Shem Bezalel, Ben Uri, Ben Chur Lamata Yehuda, I'm selecting Bezalel. Vayimale Yisrael Ruach Elokim. Hashem is going to fill him up with, Rad Unkel says, Nevuah, with prophecy. Bechochma, Besuna, Uvedas, Uvechol Meloch, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and how to do everything that is necessary. Velachshoiv Machashavois. This literally means to think. To think thoughts, la'asois, to do, ba'zohav, uva'kesef, uva'nechoshes, with gold, silver, copper, uva'choshes, even, a craftsman in dealing with precious stones. I have a very good friend who's an expert in precious stones. He tells me many times about different elements of what goes on in the world of precious gems and stones. Fascinating world. Lamalois to fill up the mishpitzais, the settings, the chaleshes eights, lasais bechol meleches nachashavas. He goes on and describes all the more details. There's a very interesting. Now, what does it mean exactly over here? V'lachshoiv machashavas, to think thoughts. To think. What does that mean exactly? To think. So Rashi back in Parshas Kisisa, where a very similar pasuk appears, almost identical, explains V'lachshev Machashoves means to weave. It means to weave material. And it appears, the reason why we have the term to think is that when one weaves and he plans to embroider a design in his work, he has to make calculations in advance. There's a requirement of Machashova. There is advanced planning that is necessary to achieve a result of beauty and something that is appealing to the eye. It is interesting that the Targum Unkelis does not say that. And he says something different, both there in Parashas Kisisa and here as well in Parashas Vayakel. His words are, "V'lachshoiv machashavos," to think machashavos. His translation is, "Ule alofo ulmon von." Now the word "ule alofo" means in Aramaic to teach. Does not mean to learn, it means to teach. And look in the commentators I'm using here, a very beautiful sefer called Me'at Tzori on the Targum. He very clearly takes note that the translation of the Targum means to teach. He actually poses the question, why did the Targum translate the words? V'lachshoiv machashavos. Why did the Targum explain that to mean that Bezalel was a teacher? And why do these two words, to think, thoughts, how does that relate to teaching? In the Sefer called Ma'at Tzori on Unkelus, he leaves it as a question. When I saw this comment, I was reminded of a story that goes back many, many years. And this story was told to me by one of my chaverim, a very close friend. This story happened when I was in high school. And my friend, the friend who told me, his name was, I think, Rabbi Chanan Fantek. He's now a Rosh Shiva in Boston. And he saw this, his own eyes, and I used to sit next to him in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chai in Berlin, in Brooklyn, and he told me this story, and I still remember it today. It seems like yesterday. What was the story? We were very fortunate, and when we were in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chai in Berlin, we had a very wonderful, exceptionally brilliant and wise principal. His name was Rav Chaim Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the Menahel. He had a reputation as being a very wise and clever man. In addition to him being a very distinguished Talmud Chacham, he was a very, very smart person, clever person. He was the principal. And he had a reputation of being a phenomenal Mechanich. He understood Talmidim, each Talmud, on their level, where they were coming from, what they needed. And it was his custom to invite the students to his home on Shabbos afternoon for shalashas, the third meal. So the boys would walk over. So my friend told me that one Shabbos, he invited his class to for shalashas. They came to his home, lived in Borough Park. They walked up the steps, and they actually were able to see him in the window. They were able to peek in through the window, and they can see that the Rebbe, Reb Chaim Siegel, was sitting in his dining room, and he was bent over his shtender, his lectern, and he was learning. He was deeply immersed in whatever he was studying. He was deeply immersed in thought. They were able to discern this by peeking through the window as they knocked on the door. And they knocked. And for some reason, he didn't answer them. It was very obvious by peeking through the window that he was deeply immersed in his learning. They knocked again, and suddenly he was startled. They saw from the window, and he got up right away, opened up the door within a second, invited the boys in. He told them to wash, sit down. Okay. So there was one boy that was curious. What was the Rebbe? What was he learning? He seemed to be very involved in his studies. What was he learning that he was? He exhibited these signs of being deeply immersed. Was he learning Arashba, Aritva, Ketzais, and Nesivis? Was he learning a piece of Gemara? What was he studying? So the boy, as everyone was washing, passed by the shtender. And he looked on the shtender, and he was shocked to see on the shtender was a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper was a class list, a roster of the boys in one of the classes. I remember him telling me it was the 10th grade. He right away understood that Chaim Siegel was looking at each name one at a time, looked at a name, closed his eyes, and thought about that boy. And in his mind, reviewed his interaction, his knowledge of that boy, and studied him. Where is he holding in the yeshiva? Is he developing? Is he growing? Is he having trouble? Rav Chaim Siegel was involved with every boy in the yeshiva. He knew everyone very well. And it appeared that he was actually sitting at the shtender, reviewing each student one at a time in his mind to understand the student. And this thought came to my mind when I read this Unkelus with what it says here in the parish. Who was Bezalel? Bezalel was a master craftsman, but he was more than that. Bezalel also needed people to help him build the Mishkan. Building the Mishkan is not just building a building. The Mishkan is a makom of Kedusha. It is a holy place, and the building of the Mishkan requires people of stature, of holiness, to work, to participate with spirituality. And Bezalel certainly needed to recruit some good men to assist in its construction. And part of the skills that Bezalel had was his ability to teach. It's one thing a person has skill. He has trained, he has a degree, he has been trained by the best. That doesn't necessarily mean he has the ability to be successful in teaching others his trade. We all know that it's a special skill to teach, to be a pedagogue. It's a unique quality that Hashem gives a blessing to certain people to have that talent of being able to give over to teach. Here we have a pasuk describing the attributes of Bezalel. He was a master in everything, but one of his talents is v'lachshoiv machashavos, to think thoughts, to contemplate, to think thoughts, literally. Along comes the Targum Unkelus and translates the words v'lachshoiv machashavos, ule alofo u mon von, to teach others how to be a craftsman. Why would the Targum translate the word v'lachshoiv, to think thoughts, as a teacher? As I mentioned before, this comment of Unkelus reminded me of Rav Chaim Siegel. He was a teacher. He was a pedagogue. He was a master teacher. He understood people. And when we caught him off guard, what was he doing? He was thinking. He was thinking about his students. Actually, there's a famous piece of Gemara. I apologize, I don't have the source for you at this moment. I think it was with Rav Kahana. Perhaps it was another Amora, where he was extremely devoted to his students, to children, Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban, and he never ever took vacation. And one day, one of his chaverim found him taking a stroll in the garden. And he said, could it be? You're on vacation? How could it be you're on vacation? And he said to him, I'm telling you, it's been 13 years I have not taken one day vacation. Whatever the reason is, today I had to step out. But I can tell you also, as I'm strolling in the garden, the only thing that I'm thinking about, the lachshoiv machashavos, are my talmidim. To teach, it's not just enough to say the words, to explain the concept. You have to plan in advance, techniques, concern, understanding, the depth of understanding. That's an incredible, important skill in being a craftsman for the Mishkan, the place of Hashem's Shechina. The Mishkan is not just the building where Hashem comes to rest His divine presence. The highlight, the central point of the building is the Aron HaKodesh, is the Torah, with the Kruvim, the Menorah, objects which represent Torah. And the Torah is not meant to be locked up in a library behind, in the safe, in the vault. The Torah is meant to be disseminated, is meant to be expounded upon, is meant to be spread. When they built the Mishkan, part of the Kedusha that they imbued in this structure is to teach. This Makom should radiate with a yearning to understand and grow and develop. I want to leave you with another story, to conclude with another story, which made upon me a very great impression. There was once a very big Rosh Hashiva, and this Rosh Hashiva had dead students, and one day one of the students told the Rosh Hashiva that he's leaving the yeshiva. Where are you going? I'm going to a certain yeshiva. So this Rosh Hashiva said to that student, I know why you're going there. Because that yeshiva where you're going, the Rebbe, he gives a very good shir. I'm well aware. He's a brilliant Talmud Chacham. And the truth is, I can't match his shir. The shir, the knowledge that he will impart, that he will expound, is second to none. I understand. But I want to tell you something else, my students. There's one thing that you have here in this yeshiva that you're not going to get there. And that is, that yeshiva, the Rebbe, he stays up the whole night to comprehend, understand in depth the sugya, the pshat in the Gemara, the pshat in the Tosfos, the pshat in the Rashba. He stays up the whole night to know the pshat in the Rambam. Here, I don't stay up the whole night trying to understand the Rambam, but I stay up the whole night trying to understand my students. I invest an enormous amount of effort in understanding my students. V'lachshoiv machashavos. In teaching, it's not just giving a student a script, a text, delivering a shiur, playing a recording. There's a relationship between a Rebbe and a student. And that relation, the litmus test of the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud is the Rebbe a person that you can say about him, v'lachshoiv machashavos, that he is thinking outside of the classroom, he's concerned. Where is my Talmud? Is the Talmud growing? Is he developing? Is my technique of teaching correct? Perhaps I can refine, I can calibrate my technique, my content differently to the ultimate benefit of the student. The litmus test is the Rebbe a Bezalel? Is he a lachshoiv machashavos? Is he in the category of ule alofa umanvan? Is he a teacher of the trait of what is involved in the sanctuary of the Mishkan, which focuses upon the Torah, the Aron, the Kruvim, the Menorah HaTorah, and the Or of Torah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming tonight. This week, Yirtzeh Hashem, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. We have to strengthen ourselves with an intensity when we reflect back on the Geula of the Jewish people, and then as we renew ourselves for the ultimate Geula, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chodoshim, just as we merited the Yitzias Mitzrayim in the past, there will be a new Yitzia of Galus that will be even greater and loftier. And in between the Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, our reflection on the past and our anticipation of the future, we will recite Yiskadal V'Yiskadash Shmei Rabba, the common denominator of the lessons of the past and the anticipation of the future is the glorification of Hashem's name. Thank you again. Have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week with blessing and success, blessings of success and goodwill and bracha to one and all. Good night.